principle. Everything that has a lasting quality must be in accord with divine principle. It is the structure, and it includes system. Having a structure is no good unless there is a system to use the structure as the foundation. Spiritual power is a primary element of principle, and spiritual power is possible because spirit is the only substance. All of the qualities of God interconnect and work together, interact with each other, and therefore mind, and that's a capital M, it's the immortal divine mind, which is incorporeal, supreme and infinite. That one and only real mind is omni-intelligence, omni-wisdom, and omni-knowing. Therefore, the structure and system of principle must be and is intelligent, wisdom, and knowing. It's not a principle which is ignorant or absent of the information and facts that are required, nor is it one of stupidity, but it is one of wisdom. Mind is all capacity, all facility, all functionality. Therefore, in combining the qualities of mind with principle, then principle exhibits those qualities as well. For mind is interacting with principle. And as mentioned, spirit is the only substance, and therefore the system and structure is a spiritual system and structure. Is not one that is matter-based, for matter is the opposite of spirit, and spirit is the real, therefore matter is unreal. It is absent of reality. It is really a miscalculation or an improper, incorrect view of the truth of what substance is. The same with soul. A few of the qualities of soul are spiritual seeing, hearing, feeling, tasting, and smelling. The real structure and the real system of principle, if we are utilizing the senses of soul. Since the only real principle is spiritual, and since soul interconnects with principle, if we let the spiritual senses guide us, then we will be able to see, hear, feel, taste, and smell correctly everything we need to know about any particular project that we may be involved in, so that we can sense the spiritual structure and system that needs to be implemented in order to have a successful conclusion. there's a principle in walking down the street. Not a physical principle, but a spiritual principle. For we must be relying on spirit for our substance. Otherwise, we are going to be relying on something that is not dependable or consistent, which is matter. If we are consciously thinking about our feet or ankles or legs or knees or thighs or any other part of our body as we are using them, then we are really directing our thought to a very temporal framework as opposed to a spiritual structure. If we see a gymnast performing or a figure skater, they exhibit tremendous amount of grace. That is a spiritual quality. That is not a matter-based quality. Beauty is a quality of soul. And we can see the beauty of the principle of any activity, the structure, the system, if we are utilizing those spiritual senses in order to view and realize the elements of divine principle. If we do that, we will see that things are in balance continuously without interruption. Mary Baker Eddy often uses the word love with principle, divine principle love. And love is a quality of God which includes things such as oil. Oil, by definition, according to Noah Webster, includes the term lubrication and fluidity, a substance for anointing. If one considers love being a lubricant, then it's easy to think about principle being like a machine that is operating continuously without interruption and being very smooth without friction, without sound, without any interference, obstruction, inconsistency, but it is smooth, efficient, totally without friction, so it's not only efficient, it is a perfect operation. Love works with all of the other qualities of God. And by the way, the seven qualities, the primary as expressed by the terms which are defined as the seven synonymous terms for God, include mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love. And all of these terms represent qualities that are incorporeal, divine, supreme, and infinite. Those four terms are representative of the four sides of the city of God, which are the Word, the Christ, Christianity, and science. And those four terms are defined in Revelation and expanded on by Mary Baker Eddy in Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures. When we think about all of these qualities of God being interconnected, and they cannot be divorced from the other qualities. Any single quality is really interconnected with all of the qualities. Another quality representative of principle is explains. So principle explains the operation, how something is functioning, and how a facility operates or functions. The principle teaches. Teaching is a quality of principle, another term that represents what principle is. Principle requires obedience. One cannot deviate from the principle without violating the continuity of the principle. In other words, they are going outside of principle, and therefore it is not within the principle of the topic. It's like changing a blueprint by violating the rules that are required to fulfill the blueprint. Design and plan are qualities of love. But again, Mary Baker Eddy utilizes love with principle, divine principle love, and therefore the plan and design of love functions in alignment as a part of and in unity with principle. Principle could not operate without a plan and design. The system and structure must be in accordance with the plan and design of love. And the lubricant enables everything to work in a very smooth, balanced manner for a continuous, uninterrupted, undeviating operation. It is self-regulating. In other words, it is consistent without deviation. It is representing also truth. Truth means that it has no error. It is absent of mistakes, absent of deviation from truth. It's like a wall. If one is building a structure, and let's assume the structure is a tall structure, one cannot be off by 1 degree or 1/10% of 1 degree. Because as one rises up to great heights, as some of these buildings are, a very small deviation in the foundation and the structure that is protruding from the foundation would produce an unreliable result. If one thinks about the importance of principle in everything one is doing, whether it's a thought, speech, or action, one can appreciate the value of principle if they think about disobedience to the principle. Imagine a train that has power that can exceed the speed that a certain curve is designed for the locomotive. The locomotive may be equipped to exceed the speed by a substantial amount. But if that curve is designed for that locomotive to be a certain speed, and the principle that is involved in the design of that curve is not abided with, then there could be real trouble. Think about the principle of love. One cannot mix hate with love and expect to get a result that is godlike. One cannot mix a speed that is different than the design of the track. One cannot mix intolerance with patience and kindness and expect to get a godlike result. You cannot mix a mistake or an error with truth. You cannot mix something that is unprincipled with principle and expect to have balance and a smooth, continuous, uninterrupted result. There must be obedience involved. The discipline must be always present. Honesty is another term that is an element of principle. We wouldn't be honest and would not have a true principle if we're mixing good and bad, if we're mixing what is true and what is untrue, if we mix fact with fiction. If one utilizes intelligence, wisdom, and knowledge, but ignores loyalty, then one is going to be violating the principle. The structure and system will fail. We must have good ingredients. All of the ingredients must be good. We can't mix some sand in with water and expect to have a pure principle. Or mud, dirt. The principle must be kept pure. It must be honest. We can't mix mistakes in there. The foundation must be excellent, perfect. Not just excellent, but without flaw. Universal is another term that is related to principle. We must utilize principle in everything we do. It's not localized, it is universal. The laws of principle, the laws of God, are universal. God is omnipresent. That's one of the qualities of mind. That means the laws of principle are omnipresent. And what are the laws of principle? Abiding by these terms which represent the underlying qualities, some of which we've discussed. The word heart is one of the terms that are included in the elements of principle. Heart represents core. Principle is a way that one could view all of the qualities interconnecting with each other. Thinking of it graphically, consider a candelabra where the center is principle and the three branches off to the left and to the right all connect through principle, the system and structure. the element that requires obedience, loyalty, the operation that will never fail, because it has all of the ingredients interconnecting. Consider the roots of the redwood sequoia trees. They all interconnect, bond together below the surface. And they are shallow-rooted trees, even though they are, I believe, the tallest trees in the world. The tallest one being something around 350 feet. I drove my car through one of them called the General Sherman Tree. I don't recall offhand how it happened that the base of the tree was carved out, but it was actually carved out where you could drive your car through the trunk of the tree. And there was still a large tree standing. The strength of the interconnection, the bonding of the roots, is the key. I believe the information indicates that they have been in existence as long as recorded history is about humanity. They withstand all kinds of atrocities, fire, wind, drought. We must think of ourselves as all bonded together with God. In other words, we are all individually connected to a network which includes everyone, all humanity. And God is the principle that connects everyone. No one is alone. No one is isolated. Because everyone is connected through the core of the incorporeal, divine, supreme, and infinite mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love. By the way, that's the definition of God from Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures on page 465. And that is by Mary Baker Eddy, the founder of Christian Science, the discoverer, the leader. There is not a single quality of God that does not interconnect with affiliate with, parallel with, in bringing about the fullness of all seven together. Love, by the way, is termed the quality of fulfillment and completeness. In the order of the days of creation, as enumerated in the first chapter of Genesis through the first three verses of chapter 2, they are in the same order that has been enumerated here in this recording, in the order of mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love. One of the qualities of mind is enlightenment. And in the first part of Genesis, chapter 1, it says, "Let there be light." And in the end of the development of the 7 days of creation, as described in those verses just enumerated, it indicates that God finished his work. Behold, it was very good. So that is love. That is the fulfillment, the completion. And then each of the other five terms go with each one of the days of number 2 to number 6. The sixth day represents truth. The second day represents spirit. Talks about a firmament, dividing the waters. So, the first chapter of Genesis, through that third verse of chapter 2, gives us exactly what we need to think about when we are developing anything, whether it's business, whether it's a social relationship, a marriage, developing a family, teaching and training children, any phase of a human, so-called human life. And of course, the idea is to see everything as a spiritual life. In other words, we want to translate everything from what appears to be a material activity to its real activity, which is spiritual. The nature of everything real is spiritual. Nothing is material. Matter does not exist in and of itself. It only exists in an individual's view. And of course, that's an incorrect view of reality. As a little bit of additional information, the words, as I mentioned, of incorporeal, divine, supreme, and infinite that I told you linked to the four terms of the four sides of the city of Word, Christ, Christianity, and Science, they further can be defined by these terms. The Word is really the fact. That's the facts about God. Now, we cannot even understand enough to be able to even see the terms, let alone be able to use them in any kind of a functional way, unless we are willing to set aside the material view, which is the common view of everything. I mean, it's like we can touch it, feel it, you know, taste, smell, see it. But that's all being done on a material aspect unless we make a conscious effort to use the same mind that Christ Jesus used. In fact, that's the last tenet of the tenets of Christian Science. Let that mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. So that's the mind in which we must be looking at the facts. We have to give up the lie upon lie that has been compounded over the history of so-called mankind in order to be able to look at the real facts of what God is, the Word. And the second one, which is the Christ, that is what I touched on already, which is the Christ consciousness. Now, in order to have the Christ consciousness, we have to be viewing things as did Christ Jesus. That's the Christ consciousness, but a Christ is the title. It means the God consciousness. It means that we are viewing the perfect man, for example, as Jesus did. He didn't view somebody dead just because everyone else around claimed that the person was dead, or blind because the guy claimed that he couldn't see, And in a human sense of it, there was no sight there at all. But he saw the man perfect. And because of his Christ consciousness view, he was able to heal, or rather correct, the view of everyone that was observing him, as well as the individual himself. He was able to correct his view from the matter, translating it to the spiritual. And after he was healed by Jesus, then Jesus was not leaving him in a situation where he relied on a material base of vision. But he had an opportunity to cultivate the spiritual vision, and that would take some effort on his part, because he would have to be transformed in his entire life, in the way he was thinking, talking, acting. That can only be done if one makes a sincere effort and continuously strives to spiritualize everything about themselves, their entire life. Taking the infinite steps. In other words, there's no end. It's like reading a book and getting a certain level of understanding, and then reading it again and seeing new things. And of course, this is innate in the writings of Mary Baker Eddy, because they are all written on a spiritual foundation. And so there's no end to the understanding that can be gained from within. The third term of the City of God is Christianity. And Christianity is living the Christ consciousness, accepting the facts about God, recognizing Him and accepting Him, that's part of the word, and the Christ is translating. It's like being a filter, and you filter out the incorrect, and you permit acceptance of the correct. And that's what we let in consciousness. That's where we're recognizing the truth is that God is the source of all. And we won't accept anything that is not directly from God, directly from the incorporeal, divine, supreme, and infinite mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love. We insist on that. Otherwise, we're not thinking on a pure enough level to be able to prove the kinds of things that Jesus did, and Mary Baker Eddy, and many other very fine practitioners of Christian Science and of the science of Christianity, the science of the Bible. But the opportunity is there for everyone. So if we live and prove through demonstrating the kinds of things that are being discussed here in this recording, then we are proving that Christian Science works. It's not theory, but we're proving that it is a principle. Dr. Albert Einstein saw his friend, his name was Underwood, Dr. Underwood, and Dr. Underwood was on the atomic research team for the U.S. government, and everybody that was on that team passed on from exposure of the radiation except for Dr. Underwood. And he experienced a complete healing through Christian Science. And he and Dr. Einstein were good friends. And Dr. Einstein witnessed that healing. He saw it taking place. And he saw other healings of other people that he knew. And these convinced him to take a real serious look at Christian Science. And so he became a student of Mary Baker Eddy's writings and what she discovered. This was, you know, several years after Mary Baker Eddy left, many years after Mary Baker Eddy left being visible on Earth. I was in the 40s and 50s. And he made the statement about Mary Baker Eddy. He said, "Blessed art thou." And he made the statement about Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures, written by Mary Baker Eddy, this way. He said, "Everything that is in this book." You cannot have a stronger recommendation than that. And realizing that Dr. Einstein, as anyone knows, if they just check out his easily available reputation and history, that he was noted as a genius of a physicist. And of course, they work with the belief of matter all the time. They work with a substance that they believe is matter, a substance that they think is real, a substance that they think has life, truth, and intelligence in it. For example, the brain for intelligence. And concrete. They think that that's solid, as a solid foundation, or steel. And it's now common knowledge, if one does some research, that when they were breaking down the atom, they discovered, as they got it smaller and smaller, it's like a moment is a measure for the smallest amount of time. In fact, it's not a measure, it's a term for the smallest amount of time. It's not a mathematical measure. It's just a word that says if it cannot be divided, then it is a moment in time. And as they were dividing the atom, they were finding as it got smaller and smaller, it finally disappeared. And that the only thing that was there was the consciousness of the people projecting their own thought. There wasn't anything that you could touch or feel. And they determined that, and this was through quantum mechanics, quantum physics, that it really was a vibration, a rapid vibration. That's what we were thinking we were touching and feeling, a vibration. There wasn't anything opaque that was there. It was an appearance, and it felt like it, and so forth. Very, very interesting to do some research along that line to see what they discovered through quantum mechanics. Well, that's the third term, and the fourth term is science of the City of God. And science means that you have proven the theory to be fact and to be truth, because you have had healing. And if you automatically view everything from a spiritual standpoint, then you are at the point of ascension in divine metaphysics, where you are above the belief of life, truth, and intelligence in matter. You're not engrossed in the lie that has been compounded over the thousands of years that makes people believe that a lie is truth. A corrupt media. By media, I'm talking any form, whether it's television, internet, whether it's printed, digital, verbal, video, doesn't matter what it is. And a common term now is fake news. And one of the tactics that is used by a corrupt system is to fabricate something, which means it has no truth to it at all. They just make it up. They fabricate it, and then they tell it to a news group, and the news group publishes it, and then the one that fabricated it uses that as their proof that it's true. So it's just a circle of lies. Fake news. Fake news. Fake news. And there are certain agencies of the government that have a program whereby they want to make people believe something is true that is totally false. And if they keep repeating that through the media sources, the fake news media sources, then people get accustomed to that. Another word is normalize. They get accustomed to that and they believe that it's true because they've heard it so many times. And unconsciously, the human thought process says what must be true. I mean, I've heard it for so many days, weeks, months, or years, or whatever. And that's what Mary Baker Eddy refers to when she says mortal existence is a lie upon lie. For thousands of years. I mean, we had dark ages for, 1,500 years, because they had a council of Nicaea back at 350 AD or 325 AD. And that's where they decided that they would make Christianity a function of the church. And they removed the healing aspect of it. In fact, that's why Mary Baker Eddy stated that she has rediscovered and brought forth what was lost in Christianity since a few hundred years, 300 years after Jesus. She restored the lost element of healing. And that's what Christian Science was all about. It was discovering how Jesus really healed, and it was not haphazard, it was a science. And so she termed the words Christian Science. When she uses the word life, if she means the quality of God, which is eternal, then she uses a capital L. The same with mind. If she is referring to the divine, immortal mind, she uses a capital M. So she brought forth through her inspiration of listening to direction from the one infinite incorporeal divine supreme mind, she basically came forth with a brand new language, one whereby a capital letter for a particular term would mean God. But at the same time, if somebody wanted to think about it or talk about it on a relative term, then it would be a lowercase letter. If something is sinful, sick, diseased, dying, or dead, then that would be a lowercase. It would be the human view, which of course is a miscalculation of the truth, because it's only repeating the lie after lie that has been compounded over the centuries or the thousands of years. So science is when we've come to the point that we are at the resurrection. Jesus gained that point. And he said to one of his disciples, "Don't touch me." Because when he was at that point, he did not, that was a symbol for not wanting to mix matter and spirit. Because he was already spiritualized in thought that he was ready to ascend, to leave the visible appearance as a human and to be transitioned from a visual standpoint to being invisible. So that's science. That is that we are at the perfection, at the point of perfection. And of course, obviously, that's the goal, to continue to strive in that direction. Continue to strive in the direction of spirit away from matter by replacing the thought, speech, and action of a material basis with a spiritual solid foundation, no longer building on sand on a seashore, but building on spirit that is permanent. Cannot be diluted, deflected, diverted, blocked, stopped, or reversed. If we work step by step to make progress on the path of truth to the final spiritual ascension, and with God being infinite, we better plan on just continuing to pursue that line of progress. Infinite progress, infinite progression is concrete being and abiding by the principle, the divine principle love enables there to be continuous progress along that path. There is nothing but God. Amen.